Good morning to everybody, and I am happy to have some people here who think that our presentations or our topics will be more interesting than the in the other room. To start a small remark, I feel like a sort of oddball, if it has a proper English expression, that actually I am a so-called practitioner among the scholars, and it is an honor for me to be together with you and also to learn from you how you look at various issues with regard to the R2P and the challenges. And I am a practitioner, and I will want to somehow make another approach from the lens through the lens of a practitioner. And yesterday I thought in the morning that I will just speak about Africa, but then the whole morning session, or the whole sessions, all sessions yesterday, provoked me to also make some reflections. And probably if people will hear or read the whole conference afterwards, they might also hear what is a view of a practitioner on this issue. And first of all, I wanted to start with the idea that this is a, and thank you very much for the invitation, because it's a very good idea and very important idea. It is more about awareness raising and advocacy, and we think that this is important for promoting the R2P and implementing. Probably it's even more important, we think so, that if we put in practice the thoughts and skills, thoughts of the academics and researchers, and so this is I am for the latter. How to translate the ideas of the researchers into the practice. And also from this point of view, I think that the idea of the University of Leeds is a proper one, to create an EU network for R2P that might pool the capabilities of academics, and also help that the language of academics will be translated into the language of the practitioners. So I think that will really create synergies. And such a network, I think it would be very useful. So we are happy to drive these activities. yesterday we spoke. The problem, one of the problems when we speak about the cooperation of between the academia and the researchers and practitioners, is that each of us goes on its own track, and what we would need probably is that we combine the capabilities, and we have to talk to each other. The next point is what I think yesterday we spoke about R2P. How we should apply R2P in the case of crisis situation, and I think that this is important. In these cases, we need to apply the so-called mass atrocities lens that we consider very important. But on the other side, we think that the prevention is much more important. And if we want to really prevent, then we need to build the capacities of each country able to prevent the mass atrocities. And one of the points where we need to improve the capabilities of everybody is, or each society, is to enable them to manage diversity. Otherwise, because basically the triggering or basic fundamental problem and conflict of each mass atrocity situation is that the various identities be it about religion or race or whatever, are not able to make to live together in peace. So therefore, I think it's an important point. Yesterday, it was raised the issue of the code of conduct in the UN that might help a lot, and in the UN, in the Security Council, to promote the and to be active and to be proactive. I think it's a correct approach, and we also do support as Budapest Center this idea, and we have been lobbying a lot for that idea. But I also think that that it probably it would be much more important if we could build up a mechanism, decision-making mechanism within the UN, which would be aimed at preventing the events, because the Security Council used to deal with these issues when the crisis is there. Okay, then of course we can apply the so-called Massachusetts lens, but this is not prevention. This is prevention of the escalation or further escalation of the situation. So, but if we really want to prevent, then we have to set up a mechanism. The other point was, and actually this is the next point is the second pillar of the R2P, that we need to provide assistance to the countries who are in troubles, and in that regard I wanted to underline that from here, from Europe, we have a thing that, okay, we tell you there in Africa or in Asia or wherever that this is the way ahead. And right now our experience of the last 2 years was that we should work together with them and help them, assist them in finding their own solutions and their own mechanisms. So therefore, when we speak about providing assistance, I would say let's work together with the countries being in trouble. The unfortunate news of the R2P is that this is an endless process. So I don't think that we shall live in a world which will not be threatened by mass atrocities. So therefore, we should not have any illusion in that regard. I would say that this is the EU expression, there is no exit strategy in this case. So we used to push exit strategies in all cases, but when we speak about how to prevent mass atrocities across the globe, and whether we shall finish it once for all, then I think it's an illusion, and therefore we don't have a exit strategy. And I think that although we know this, we need to teach, and this is also partly the job of the professors and academia and researchers, teach the people, the states, to do two things. To learn two things, to be non-discriminative and to respect diversity. And if these two things would work in the societies, then we have made a big step forward in each society. The researchers and also the educators in this respect must work together. This is again, so there is no way that we just try to explore the problems, but we have to be able also to provide and to give to hand over our knowledge and expertise to the students and pupils, and this is also an endless process. One point is about sensitizing, and we spoke a lot yesterday about the raising awareness. I would say sensitizing this problem, particularly in the various continents, so in Africa, but the sensitizing could not be through organizing maybe some workshops like this, but in our view as a practitioner, we should sensitize by doing things, by improving the capabilities of the societies and of the actors, and probably that's the best way of sensitizing and preventing the capacities. I just want to say one general point about a challenge which we shall have to face here in Europe, and this is the protection of the Christian community. So I do know that coming from Hungary, that the Hungarian government pushes a lot and emphasizes a lot the Christian cores of the European Union. And also the Hungarian government has allocated, in Hungarian terms, a big amount of money for protecting the Christian communities across the globe. I don't have any details yet. I don't think so that anybody has some details in Hungary about it. But this is a fresh idea, and I think that when we speak about diversity, managing diversity, within this we shall have to be able to protect also the Christian community. So coming to the point of the communities and regions, how the European Union should work together. Before saying some words about our African task force, the lessons learned of the African task force, that is not included in the report what we have issued just some days ago. Let me mention that this is we started with the European Union mapping the capabilities. Chiara was one of the key figures, and also Fabian was part of the team. So the interesting point is in this that we have to focus on different issues. When we speak about European Union, we first of all need to focus and focused. As a body which has a global actor, which has tasks in the world and which has to help other countries, other continents, other communities. And we have paid less attention to the European Union itself, because as we say, no state is immune from mass atrocities. And we used to act as if the European Union would not be could not be subject to mass atrocities. So therefore, I think that there will be another focus what we shall apply in the next few months. We shall map the capabilities of the Visegrad countries in the Central European countries, where the focus will be on extremism and radicalization. So the mass atrocities, in our terms, is not about war crimes. It's more about how to prevent the trends towards extremism and how to help de-radicalize the societies. In the case of Africa, again, that was another point what we have discovered, and this is the classical thing that we need to map the African capabilities. I won't go into the details of the results. You may read it also. That is online of the Budapest Center website. But we have agreed with the colleagues of the African Task Force, who were actually prominent African researchers. So we didn't want to say to the Africans, and we didn't want to investigate African affairs from outside. We wanted them to do it, and because they have much more empathy, they have much more knowledge, they have much more experience in the field. Therefore, and I'm sure that it succeeded, we could call the attention to the outside world to those problems which the Africans think that this is a problem. So one of the lessons learned is that in the future we have to anticipate a slow and long process of implementing the R2P in Africa. So there is no illusion, and in doing so, we have to be very consistent, and very patient. So I don't think so that within 1-2 years, even 1-2 decades. We shall succeed, but obviously we shall have to make some progress. The other point was that the mass atrocities prevention is important from the point of view of enhancing the cohesion within the societies. As I said before, each society is very diverse, and then these diversities will have to be managed, addressed, and the problems handled in some way, but this is for coherence. In the case of Africa, it's more valid than in the case of any other continent, that we may not raise the awareness just like this, that we make a workshop about the problems and we try to teach the Africans, but we have to sensitize the problems of the African of the R2P challenges through building up capabilities. If we focus and if we try to help them to learn how you may prevent mass atrocities, that would be the best way to sensitize the problem. So just to tell them that, look, there is a problem here about mass atrocities and challenges, then this doesn't work. Because in many cases they said to us, look, we don't care mass atrocities because we prevention, because we prevent conflicts. And so within this context, we also prevent mass atrocities. Well, we tried to explain to them, and I don't know whether we were successful, but at least we have raised their attention and their awareness about it. And then we think, however, that if we shall, and that was one of the requests on their side, let's do some workshops where we shall improve the capabilities. You will explain to us how to do that. I know that I misuse the moderator role of moderator in terms of, but let me just add one more thing that which is very important. That again, the Africans will have to be given the freedom to design their own tools and or mechanisms. Just in informal talks, they mentioned that they don't like the ICC. You know, many have already found the exit strategy of ICC. But they said if we would have an African ICC, then probably looking the situations through African eyes, probably we could prosecute the criminals in a much more effective manner than we have done it before. So let me finish with one thought that we anticipate a long process. The slogan is "Don't give up." So we need to continue the process, and the other good news, probably for us, for you, as researchers, that everybody who has heard the outcome of our report and activities said, yes, we must continue the researches. Just an interesting point was that, for example, even the mass atrocities, the category of mass atrocities, will have to be researched through the eyes of the Africans. How do they understand the distinctions between terrorism and mass atrocities, mass atrocities and mass killings, mass violences? So these are categories which will have to be cleared, and that will be also a sort of research. Also, just to give the floor afterwards, the next topic, the North Africa was a topic which was raised, that why we have not researched also the North Africa, and I would say that would be a too big piece to digest. And we have to do it probably later on.